Hello, everyone. My name is David Smith, and this is the Armchair Commentary. On this week, Steve and I are taking a look at the NFC with a particular focus on the NFC East, formerly known as the NFC Least. Steve and I make an argument for why we should be removing that title from that division after the past few weeks of pretty decent play. If you haven't already, please make sure to subscribe to this podcast anywhere you get your podcast, be it Stitcher, Podchaser, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. It doesn't matter where you get your podcast. I would appreciate it if you were able to subscribe. Let us know if you have, and if you haven't, please make sure to hit that subscribe button. If you'd like to support this podcast over the holiday season and you're looking to get some merchandise for that Armchair Commentary fan, head over to tpublic.com, search Armchair Commentary. You can find all of our merch, shirts, stickers, notebooks, mugs, just about anything you could possibly want. And if you don't find the thing that you want, let me know. We'll get it added. So without further ado, the NFC Least.
Another week of basically only football, but we have some potential sort of breaking almost news from the hockey world. We have what could be not finalized yet by any ratified agreement, but a 56-game season starting sometime in middle January. We've last heard, I think, the 13th. Some guys on some of the three letters don't necessarily agree with that, but middle January, and we have divisions, Steve. We have divisions. What are your initial thoughts looking at what we have for divisions? And let's run over these really quick, just kind of off the get, starting with our very own All-Canadian division.
I love this All-Canadian division. Personally, I can't wait for it. It's just going to be great. Like, as Leafs fans, we have a superiority complex of over all Canadian fan bases because there's more of us than the rest of you. So I can't wait to be arguing with other fans of, like, you know, maybe get to actually converse with a Winnipeg Jets fan. I don't know any of them. But, like, Canucks fans, I know one or two. Ottawa fans, I know quite a few. Habs fans, I know tons. Edmonton Oilers fans, I don't think they've pulled their head out of the sand yet. They're still doing the old ostrich thing. And I do know some Flames fans. So that division is going to be fun. I have no idea who's going to win that division. We were just talking before we started here that, like, it's probably going to be, like, what, Toronto, Vancouver, Winnipeg, you were thinking? I don't know.
I was thinking Winnipeg. Edmonton could figure it out.
Calgary can figure it out, too.
Calgary's pretty good. Ottawa is close, but not quite there yet. And Montreal has Carey Price, who can steal games if needed, which it always is. I like the Canadian division for a couple of reasons. The Canadian hockey fan is a unique animal, and there is nothing quite like a couple, like 56 games, and we're only playing these teams. So I can't wait to see those, like, Toronto-Calgary rivalries, like Montreal-Edmonton. You know what I mean? Like, there's always the East Coast-West Coast rival, like the, like, Toronto-Montreal, Toronto-Ottawa. You know, those are like the, like, Vancouver, Calgary, Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg against everyone, I guess. But, like, those guys have always been in their own rivalries, but it doesn't happen often. Like, usually it's like once a year trip out west in an 82 game, and in a 56 game only playing these teams, it means there's going to be a lot of like one slightly dirty hit on Nylander by Kachuk, and I can't wait to see what happens between Toronto and Calgary, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen, and it's going to be spectacular.
I'm going to be honest. What I want to see the most is Toronto versus Edmonton, like, eight times in a year. I think that's going to be really exciting. A bunch of 8-7s, 9-6s, and all kinds of crap. It's going to be excruciating to watch, but I can't wait to watch, like, you know, Austin Matthews win the scoring title this year just by simply filling the net against Edmonton 5-6 times a year. It's going to be fantastic.
Like, I think it's going to be good for hockey. It's good for Canadian hockey fans in particular.
I expect the Leafs, three of the Leafs' big four, to, even though it's only a 56-game season, I expect them all to crack around 90 points to 100 just based off of playing Ottawa and Edmonton so often. Like, yeah. It's going to be incredible. I don't know what else to say about it other than bring it on, make it start now, please. I'm not the biggest hockey guy, as we've discussed in the past, but this is fun, and I like the concept a lot. I don't know how the conferences are going to work. I don't think it's going to be East and West anymore. I don't know how that works, but, you know, whatever, who cares? We'll figure that out on the fly. It's Gary Bettman. I'm sure he'll think of something that'll ruin something. It'll be fine.
It'll be dice roll or, you know, like a Texas Hold'em tournament or something for the right to the first to pick your division opponent. Who knows? The other divisions are the next one we have on the list, I should say, Anaheim, Arizona, Colorado, Dallas, L.A., San Jose, St. Louis, and Vegas, which also looks like it's bottom heavy.
I mean,
or like mid-tier heavy, I should say.
My question becomes, why is Anaheim in this division? Why not put like Columbus or Chicago?
Anaheim's in there because of California with LA and San Jose. The other two.
California. Oh, right. I apologize. I'm thinking Anaheim's in Florida. I'm sorry. You're 100% right. I am an idiot. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. Remove that. Keep going. This division
Carolina,
Colorado for sure.
No, yeah, Colorado, Vegas, St. Louis. Those are all competitive teams. San Jose, probably not happy with it. LA's kind of rebuilding, and so is Anaheim. So we'll see what happens. The next division is Carolina, Columbus, Detroit, Chicago, Florida, Minnesota, Nashville, and Tampa. So we're doing away with, like, we're mixing everything when we do this. The last division we looked at had all Western Conference teams. This one has a mix of both. It's the only one actually that has a mix of both, if I'm not mistaken.
No, the Canadian one does too, obviously.
And the Canadian one, yes. It's the only American division that has a mix of both, because the third or the fourth division, America 3, if you will, is Boston, Buffalo, New Jersey, New York, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Washington, which on second reading actually looks reasonable.
Oh yeah, that division is very good compared. I think that's the best division of the bunch.
Yeah, likely. So, dear hockey, figure it out. We can't wait. Apparently, World Juniors are happening still on Christmas Day, as per usual, or Boxing Day, sorry, as per usual. I find that amusing because I've hardly heard anything, even from our local Mooseheads. I know they're playing, but I haven't heard much from the junior circuit. So we'll see. And the NBA is also thinking about they're getting their season started very soon.
In 10 days, Raptors had some
COVID scares, but nothing too serious. Our Tampa Bay Raptors. Other than it coming, is there any major news you wanted to cover in the NBA?
Paul George signing a 5-year, $226 million contract today is pretty substantial news. My man, the walking Ponzi scheme that is Paul George, the NBA team. How?
Like, Paul George convinces you that he's going to win you a championship and never does.
Paul George can't even win you a playoff series these days. Like, I mean, I understand the Clippers won the first round by the skin of their teeth, thanks to, like, Kawhi, but, like, oh, my God. Like, I've never seen someone who sold, like, he's like the old West Side snake oil salesman that used to, like, you know, sell like fake remedies, like, oh, you got the clap here, drink this lavender and mint and you'll be fine type situation, right? But really it was just probably olive oil and mint or something, whatever, it doesn't matter. That's Paul George in NBA free agency. Like, teams just, or like trades, teams just give up everything for this guy. He inevitably lets them down, ruins the future of the franchise. But the Clippers, Ballmer just tripled down, like, F it, I'm gonna make this guy set for life with his mediocrity. I can't wait. Oh, God, it shows Steve Ballmer throwing the bags, and I mean bags, at Paul George. Can't wait for the Clippers to go at the second round again, because Kawhi's going to leave and come back to Toronto. It's going to be magical.
There's a tweet that I saw, and I wish I had captioned it, or I wish I reread who had actually sent it. They said, Steve Ballmer's trying to do what everybody else is doing. And that's spend money on things that they don't necessarily need and be disappointed with them later.
I'm pretty sure he could have got something better from Amazon than Paul George, but that's me.
Yeah. Yeah. You're likely right. And that brings us to the NFL, where last week we had magic, and we're going to get to the magic, in a few seconds here. There were some like crazy games that happened this past week. Like it is honestly a little bit, it's hard to put my finger on this season. You know, when I look at what happens on the week to week basis, there are things that you would think happen, no problem, no issue. Everything is going to go exactly as it should be scripted, but this is football. We think that the Bears and Lions should be a low scoring game and it ends up being tight. The Lions lose yet again, or the Bears lose yet again. The Colts and Texans are a lot closer than they probably should have been. I think the Colts are probably better than the Texans anyway, but
a win is a win.
A win is a win. The Bengals and Dolphins are exactly what I expected.
The first half of that game was not what we expected. The second half is what we expected. The first half was way too close. The Dolphins should be ashamed of themselves. I know I spent weeks like pumping the Dolphins on this show, but now all of a sudden I'm like, I'm kind of like my foot's in the water, leaning off the bandwagon a little bit, like maybe off the boat. Like maybe I'll just dip my toes here. I'm not really sold on the Dolphins like I was, especially with Tua quarterback. They do not strike me as going anywhere fast.
Yeah. They look like, sometimes they look like they're the next thing that's going to happen, and then they look exactly like the Dolphins. And I can't tell if that's just Miami being Miami, or if that's like they're still figuring it out.
Oh, I think they're going to be a playoff team at least. Like they're definitely going to be a playoff team. So great, kudos to them, right? They don't make it very often. So,
The Vikings, didn't they have to go to OT?
Oh my God! You're talking about the Vikings Jaguars game. Can we like invoke a rule when talking about the Jaguars that we just don't talk about the Jaguars? Like the Vikings won. They needed a lot of help and a lot of missed field goals by the Vikings to win, but they won, and that's all that matters. It just Mike Glennon started for the Jaguars on Sunday or wherever the hell they play the NFL games now because of COVID delays. I don't know. They play on Sunday. They play on Wednesday. They play on Tuesday. They play on Monday. Sometimes they play on Thursdays, and soon they're going to be playing on Saturdays too. I think it's going to be the first NFL season ever where we might have a game every single night of the week in a season. Like I don't think we've had a Friday night game yet. I think that's the only thing we're lacking. So someone needs to get hit with the COVID so we can have a Friday night football game.
It'll probably happen around Christmas. Who knows?
Well, I mean, it'll probably happen to the poor Steelers since they have kind of gotten the shiv. I think what happened to the Steelers this week is the short rest from playing on Wednesday or whatever they played against the COVID Ravens.
Yeah. We talk about the Jets for a second.
I mean,
how jetty sure. That was.
I mean, they literally fired the defensive coordinator right after the game. Running a cover zero. You know what? I can't even break it down. Like they ran a cover zero with like enough time off the clock for one play. They ran an all out blitz. And I don't know. With a rookie corner on like one of the fastest wide receivers in football. Like you have to assume it was intentional. Like you have to assume they were trying to lose. Like that. Like, I can't see it. I don't think I've ever seen it blatant in my entire life. Like, it looked like they have, oh, God, we're going to win. Quick, do something stupid. Who runs an all-out blitz?
No one.
In that situation. Like, it had to be a tank job. It had to be a tank job. Like, Patton would be appalled at the level of tankery going on here. Like, this is insane. I got nothing else to say on it. They fired the guy because I think the NFL was like, you can't tank that intentionally. You're out.
Yeah. I mean, I was at a loss for words, because, one, I saw some of the most amazing things like Jet fans celebrating the loss, which was incredible. But two, the fact that they fired the defensive coordinator and not Adam Gase was incredible. Gase saying that it is a collective effort the week before, and then today or the next day after losing this and they fire the defensive coordinator, it's like it was definitely that guy.
Put in the defense for the Jets. Sure, why not?
Yeah, sure, they're the problem, definitely. The Browns beat up on the Titans.
Hold on, we're letting someone off the hook here. How about the Raiders being a playoff contender and being in that close a circumstance with the New York Jets? Can we just like give the Raiders the business for a second since we buried the Jets and everyone else? How dare you? Like we laughed at the Vikings and the Jaguars. It's even worse here. The Vikings are like probably would have been a playoff team if Dalvin Cook was healthy the whole season. But like the fact that it took an absolute like intentional loss for the Raiders to come back and beat the New York Jets, like they deserve shame for this. And that's
the
all.
Raiders have had a few close games, haven't they?
Yes, they have, but it's the New York Jets. Like, it's not.
No, I understand. I am totally on board with what you're saying. I'm saying when I look at the Raiders and I look at who they've played in, so they beat the Chiefs 40-32, and you're like, okay, that's a good game. They lost to the Bills. They're a pretty good team. They lost to the Patriots.
I mean, six teams have lost to the Patriots so far. So, I mean, yeah, I guess the old 500 Patriots.
They beat the Panthers and Saints. Then they lost to the Bucks badly. They beat the Browns. They beat the Chargers and the Broncos, who are all hapless. Then they lost a close one to the Chiefs. They got blew out by the Falcons the week before. This was the easy gimme comeback game. You had just gotten blown out by the Falcons, like the kings of Choketown.
Yeah, but they're different right now. Like let's not do that. The Falcons are in their classic midseason. We've already lost the season. Let's give it everything we have just to ruin our draft pick so this team has no future. The Falcons are in prime falconing mode right now, and they took the Saints to the wire. Now, I get you, it was Taysom Hill and the Saints, but, I mean, by this time every year, Drew Brees turns into a pumpkin generally. So Taysom Hill may be an upgrade. So, yeah, I don't know. The Raiders are the Raiders, man. They're also the team that beat the Chiefs this year, so you got to give them credit for that.
They have your Colts this week.
Yeah, I know. I'm hoping if we win that, it pretty much seals the deal that we're definitely going to the playoffs. I would like to win the division. I would like to play at home. I know there's no crowd advantage or anything like that, but I just want to spite the Titans, who we can talk about next, because why not? Or do we move on to something else first before the Titans?
Well, no, we talked to the Titans because they lost to the Browns pretty. So the game score was closer than the game actually was, because a lot of these points came in garbage time. And I got to be honest with you, this was like the most satisfying Cleveland Brown victory I've ever bear witness to.
I think the Browns pumped the brakes at halftime. Like, we're up 38-7. No matter what they do, they can't beat us. And that was proven true. Those guys started playing like 1/10 speed and took the whole second half off. And we're thinking about the after party. Like, there was no, like, the fact that it ended up 45-38 is a little concerning, but I don't think the Browns ever put their foot back on the gas again. I think they might have put on the e-brake or put it in neutral and rolled down a hill, maybe, but that's about it. Shouts to the Browns, though.
Derrick Henry had 60 total yards. Corey Davis had a good game, 182 yards and a touchdown. He's the only Titan that had a good game.
Well, Tannehill obviously had a good game, but
yeah. Three touchdowns and an interception of 389 yards, but when did all those come?
Oh, in the second half. But if you're looking at fantasy numbers, you'd be very happy if you have Ryan Tannehill as your starting quarterback this week.
You would absolutely be happy with Tannehill as your starting quarterback. He scored a touchdown in the third, another touchdown in the third, then he threw a pick, and then they threw another touchdown and another touchdown. There's just lots of like Tannehill goodness all in the third quarter when there was complete garbage time.
Yeah, well, Cleveland was already laughing and planning the after party and see what Odell was up to.
Yeah. So 41 points for the Browns, and they are 9-3. That's an over 500 season, right? We're there. And they're poised to potentially win a playoff. They looked good, Steve. They looked like what we've been waiting for the Browns to do.
They look like the Browns we thought they were going to be last year, and they're quote unquote missing their best player. So, or their best receiver. So, I mean, look, I've been holding off praising the Cleveland Browns because I felt like their record was kind of a flimsy, but they're 9-3. Sure. The Ravens have jumped off a cliff and like hit every rock on the way down. It just so happened they got lucky to play against a team that was already at the bottom of the chasm in the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. The Ravens aren't going to the playoffs, it looks like. They look awful. So kudos to the Cleveland Browns, man. Like, and honestly, Pittsburgh looks really bad right now these last couple weeks. So look for Cleveland.
We'll get to Pittsburgh and to Baltimore at some point here in very, very soon. I do want to talk Rams Cardinals for a quick second.
What happened?
Because Well, I think, to be honest, I think Kyler Murray's hurt. And really? He's not doing the things that he was doing. Yeah, there's been talk about his shoulder being damaged, and he's not quite getting the same amount of strength, but he's better. Even like 80% or 70% of Kyler Murray is better than whoever's backing him up right now. I can't even remember.
I'm looking right now, but keep talking. We'll find it.
Yeah. It anyway, they just don't. I don't think that he's at full capacity. He's definitely not doing that. The Rams are actually, they look good. Good news for them. They play my Patriots tonight, and I mean that could be good or bad news depending on which Patriots.
The Rams are.
Yeah, that's tonight.
Oh mother of God! The Cardinals' backup quarterback is a guy named Chris Strievler.
There you go.
He went to South Dakota. He's 25. This is his first season. Yeah, this guy is not meant to see NFL games. But the Cardinals got the Giants this weekend. The Giants need this baby. The Redacteds are like right on their tails, although they hold the tiebreaker, but it doesn't matter. The NFC East might end up with a 500 team winning the division.
It's entirely possible. Eagles finally moved to Jalen Hurts. What do you think about that?
I think
Packers beat them. They destroyed them. So.
I think that it's probably for the best. It seems that it's time to move on from Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. I still think Carson Wentz can be a good NFL quarterback. I think he's just utterly shell-shocked in Philadelphia and has no targets. Sure. I'm not saying he's a great quarterback, but I think another team can take with a good coach could probably take Carson Wentz somewhere special. He's shown signs of it even this season and in past seasons, obviously. He was on MVP tear at one point before he got hurt, before Foles came and stole his thunder. Yeah. So, like, I don't know, man. Jalen Hurts looks good in Philly, though. Like, he looks like he wants to play, whereas I think Carson Wentz was just tired of playing. He looked tired. As far as the Packers beating the brakes off them, that was all be expected. This is what the Packers do, is beat the brakes off of bad teams and then get exposed by the good teams. That's, like, the Green Bay Packer way. So
yeah. The Patriots destroyed the Chargers in a game that I did not see coming.
I mean, you kind of did, but you kind of didn't. I mean, obviously, I won't claim I saw 45-0 coming, but I know the Chargers have all-time awful special teams because I've watched enough Chargers games this year, and the Chargers special teams has cost them probably about 4 or 5 games because they've been in a bunch of games, but they keep losing them to their special teams. And the Patriots, no matter what you want to say about their offense or whatever the hell it may be, the Patriots special teams is always, always, always on point. So I had a feeling that if like the Patriots had won 21-7 or something due to special teams, I wouldn't have been shocked. But 45-0 was gobsmacking.
I'll be honest. I thought the Patriots could win the game, but I thought it would probably be something more like 24 to like
14.
14 or 17, you know, something a little closer. I thought the Chargers would put up some sort of fight. They didn't even appear to show up for the game at some points.
I mean,
the defense looked good. The offense did not, but they didn't need to because special teams returned a kick for a touchdown, had a punt return for a touchdown as well. And
so you guys have won what? The Patriots have won 3 in a row now, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Let's double check here before we comment on this because I have a whole line of questioning I want to get into on this, but I want to make sure that it's 3 or 4, not 4 in a row. If it's 3 in a row, it's 3 in a row. The Patriots have won 2 in a row. I apologize. So they've won 3 of their last 4, I think.
I think you are correct.
We will.
Yes.
So they've won 4. They've actually won 4 of their last 5. They beat the Jets, the Ravens, lost the Texans, beat the Cardinals, beat the Chargers. That run looks like it's coming into a screeching halt in the next 3 weeks with the Rams, Dolphins, and Bills, but it's the Patriots and the Dolphins and the Bills, so you never know. But you do get to close out your season with the Jets. How do you watch Patriots games as a Patriots fan right now? Like, obviously, you don't want to see your team stink. I get it. But, like...
Confused, Steve. That's how we watch them.
I'm confused. I don't know how to phrase the question. Like, this team is probably heading for a 7-9.
Yeah.
And, like...
Maybe an 8-8, depending on the Dolphins or Bills team we see.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You're going to Miami. That never goes well for you guys when the Dolphins are bad.
Didn't go well with Brady. Cam's played in Carolina his whole career.
Well, yeah, but I gotta jump off this bandwagon. I haven't officially done it. The Cam Newton is done train is the train I'm now leading at Choo Choo. I'm the engineer. Yeah. That guy looks awful. And I'll get, don't get me wrong, like the offensive line's bad, the receivers are bad, but as Jeremy said on the show weeks ago, the accuracy is also really bad. And he doesn't have an arm
right now. He's got legs, but he's got no arm.
Yeah. Well, I don't know where his arm is because he used to have a cannon of an arm. I don't know what happened to it.
But
either way, I see the Patriots going 7-9. The Jeff Fisher special is what you're going to do. Yeah. In all fairness, though, like if this team had like you know not gotten ransacked by COVID, I think it was week 4. I think it was with the Chiefs.
Yes.
All the COVID started happening. This team probably would be on the fringe of a playoff spot. But, like, you lost 1, 2, 3, 4 in a row, 4, 5 of 6 at one point. That's so unpatriot-like, it's disturbing. I just ask this, like, a friend of mine, Aaron McDonald, as you know, is a diehard Patriots fan, and he's sitting there screaming at the television wanting to win. I'm like, you need to stop. Like, you don't want to win anymore. You're not – like, there's still a chance. I'm like, there's no chance. Like, even if you do make it, you're going to get embarrassed in your first playoff game. All you're going to do is get destroyed.
Like a fan of any team, you want to see that team win.
I'd want a draft pick. There's no hope this year.
So week one, I'll walk you through our weeks,
yes,
okay?
Let's do this.
This is what happened. Week one, we went 21-11 against the Dolphins. Cam looked amazing. We were like, all right, let's do this. Week two, we go to Seattle and lose on a quarterback sneak stuffed at the goal line. You can't fault anyone for that. That's just good football. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, the Seahawks defensive line went against the Patriot offensive line, and Cam just missed. I'll take that the opportunity to end the game and win the game, you take that any week. Because it's a coin flip there. I don't know how often that happens. It's a coin flip. They beat the Raiders. They lose to the Chiefs. So at this point, Cam is gone. He's got COVID. And Sony Michel is out. And basically anyone is out. And we're running a quarterback tandem of Hoyer starting and Stidham coming in. Brutal. Week 5's our bye. We play the Broncos. So this is where I'm frustrated. So at this point, we could be 3-1. We're 2-2. We go into the Broncos game. We lose the Broncos game. That's bad. At this point, Cam doesn't look like Cam. I think Stidham might have played that game. They lose to the Niners. Embarrassing fact. When they lose to the Niners, I think, okay, season's done. Let's start seeing what we've got in terms of defensive players. And, you know, maybe we try different rotations, check out different trick plays, things that could or couldn't work. This is where you start to tinker because you want to see what skill sets you have. Maybe you put someone that's on special teams on the offense and say, all right, you're a receiver now. This is what Belichick does. Okay. I'm like, all right, great. They play the Bills and they lose because Cam fumbles the ball at the 3. That's another winnable game. They beat the Jets. Okay. They beat the Ravens. What are we doing? What are we doing? Why are we beating the Ravens?
It was two trains passing in the night, right? One trying to salvage their season, the other like lighting fire to their season. So
I expect them to beat the Jets. The Jets are the Jets, okay? They almost beat the Bills, which would have been ridiculous, because then they beat the Ravens. And then they go to Houston and they lose again, another like closer game. They beat the Cardinals. What are you doing? Stop this. This is how I'm feeling every time I'm doing it. Why are you winning? We were buried. We lost to Houston. We're buried. Okay. We're completely buried. We're 4-6 at that point. Let us go. Let's just die. We're fine. We're 4-6. I think that's what the record is at that point. Cause we're 6-6 now.
Yeah.
So we're 4-6. We lose to Houston. Okay. That's our season right there. The Houston game is our season. You win that game, you're fine. Okay. You win that game and you're 5-5, and there's still an opportunity for a 9-7. Maybe even a playoff push. You lose that game. All right. It's done. We're 4-6. Like now we're playing mega uphill battle, and I can't believe how many times you watch it. Every year you watch it, there's always one team that's like, we're going to make it. we're going to make it. And then the last day of the season, they're like, okay, they'll win. If these 11 teams lose and someone kicks a field goal off the left upright, and you're like, all right. And then like all of it happens except for the upright. And you're like, all right, they didn't get in. And you're like, well, it was fun while it lasted. No, it's not fun. Then they beat the Cardinals and I didn't wonder what they were doing. Then they like, I'm expecting the Chargers game to be a loss. Let's go back under 500. We play the Rams, we lose. Play the Dolphins, we probably lose. Lose. Beat the Jets, and we're somewhere in the like top 10 draft picks.
NFC East level of draft picks. Yeah, for sure.
Somewhere where we can get a like top 10 receiver talent to help out Stidham or whoever they decide to sign as quarterback, because it's not Cam. And I'll say that now, it's not Cam. I love Cam.
It may be Carson Wentz.
It might be Carson Wentz. You never know. But that was my hope. Instead, they start winning all these stupid games. So now I got to watch them tonight play the Rams, and they're probably going to get the sod beat out of them because Aaron Donald will say, I'm going to come eat you. And there they go. And there's no one to catch the ball. And Goff will do Goff things, and Cooper Kupp will catch the ball a bunch, and they're going to win something like 40-8. And we'll be like, well, that was a good try, guys. And now we're back under. We got to play the Dolphins and Bills and Jets. And it's just, why? Why are we doing this?
All right. Say a miracle happens and the Patriots win out. You make the playoffs.
Yes.
If you win out right now, there's a pretty good chance you're going to have a better record than the Bucs.
Yes.
Right now, you're only one game. If you guys are in the same division, you'd be only one game back of the super team. Which, by the way, if you go back to week one of the season, I said 9-7 for this Bucs team. That's what I said.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. So they're dangerously close to that now after the media like filleted them for weeks. So the only reason, and I stress this is the only reason I would ever cheer for the Patriots, is because I want them to have either an equal to record or a better than record than the Bucs. So I can take a big picture, blow it up on like a giant wooden plank, lube it up real nice, and shove it up Skip Bayless' ass. That's what I want. As much as I hate the Patriots, I hate Skip Bayless more. So that's why I'm go Pats go. I don't want you guys to make the playoffs, but I do want you to have a better record than the Bucs.
I appreciate that. I don't think it's going to happen. I think that we're probably going to lose 2 out of 3.
The Bucs suck too. Like they may be 7-5, but they've sucked for the last 4 or 5 weeks. They got a lucky. If the Giants were playing like the Giants are playing right now, they probably beat the Bucs. I think that was like the game where the Giants decided, wait, we can actually hang with some teams. Let's see what we can do. And the Giants have turned it around, who I've been like beating the drum for ever since. God bless them. So the Bucs got the Vikings this week. Like the Vikings are playing for like that legit playoff spot. They're 6-6. The Bucs are 7-5. If the Vikings beat the Bucs, like they're 7-6. And if you guys somehow pull the miracle of beating the Rams, I mean, it's not a miracle. The Rams are the most hit and miss team in football. I don't know.
I was about to say the Rams can be Jekyll and Hyde as anybody, but
can the Patriots slip into the third AFC playoff spot? Like, can they do that? Like, has three AFC teams ever made the playoff? East teams ever made the playoffs? I don't think it has happened. Like, I mean, I'm sure it's because last year, the Colts didn't make it last year. We missed. Never mind. I thought the Colts made it last year too, so I thought it was like Houston, Tennessee, and Indianapolis, but we didn't make it last year. The injury happened. Anyway, moral of the story is go Patriots just to shove it up the Bucs' ass. I'm going to look at Tom Brady's numbers this season. They don't strike me as overly great. They look like Roethlisberger's numbers. 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, a QBR of 69.6, 63%. Okay. Yeah, and Tom Brady's playing pretty well. Not the superhero everyone thought he would be, though. Anyway, let's move on. I've delved into this theory enough. I just got the text message from Aaron saying, like, I hate Thursday night games, and I hate that I have to stay up and watch it. Yeah, like, you'll be asleep at halftime.
Other football happened that is inconsequential to what we're talking about today. The Ravens beat the Cowboys in.
Let's go to the Giants first. Since we spent so much time on the Giants.
This has been kind of the like the catalyst for today's episode, which is the Seattle Seahawks go to play the New York Football Giants of the NFC East, affectionately known as the NFC Least, because no football team in that division is good. And Steve has been on this, and I have been fully behind you. they're going to win the division. In a game that should have easily been Seahawks 30, Giants 14, the Giants won, Steve. The Giants won in smothering fashion with Colt McCoy as their quarterback. I say it again, just in case you couldn't hear me. Colt McCoy. Do you remember that name? Does it sound familiar? Probably, but he hasn't played as a starter in forever. I'm pretty sure he was a Bears fill-in at some point. He's been around, but he's never been like the guy. I'm pretty sure he was a Texas player.
I don't know if he was ever the guy, but I distinctly remember him being the starting quarterback for the Redacteds.
Yes. Yes, he was. He played for, he got drafted by the Browns.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. And then
he played for the Niners for a year. Then he was with the Redacteds and then signed with the Giants.
So he was the guy in Cleveland for 8 games. He played 8 and 13, so he missed games due to injury, but like, dude, these numbers are not worth talking about. Anyway, shows the Colt McCoy. The Giants defense is the reason why they beat the Seahawks. Colt McCoy did enough not to kill them, and that was enough. I think as long as the Giants offense doesn't shoot themselves in the foot, the defense will win football games for them. I've believed in this Giants going for 5-6 weeks now, me beating this drum. So the New York Giants are going to win the NFC East, and they're going to win a playoff game. Daniel Jones is going to be healthy by the time the playoffs start. And I can't wait. Because we buried this division at one point when Jeremy was on weeks and weeks and weeks ago. I said, who do you think is going to win a game first, the Giants or the Jets? And here we are. They're 5-7. It's unbelievable. We were making jokes that 4-12 could win that division earlier in the year, if you remember. Now there's 2 teams at 5-7. And they're the 2 teams we expected to finish in the cellar of the division, by the end. Like, we had the Redacteds and the Giants in the cellar and the Eagles and the Cowboys battling for the division title. The roles reversed. Those 2 teams are now in the cellar, and the Redacteds and the Giants are now like the division supremacy, which means we can now move on to the most special, spectacular feast of the weekend was the Redacteds and the Steelers game.
So a couple of things to take note about this game. One, the Steelers are undefeated, and Steelers fans are at their all-time douchiest. Telling everyone about how great their team is, how many teams they've beat.
I got into a debate where someone was trying to tell me Mike Tomlin is one of the greatest coaches of all time. That's how Patriots Steelers fans have been this season.
We're not there right now, but Steelers fans are there right now. Or they were. Second, starting at quarterback for the Redacteds, there's a man who almost died. His shin was in half on the field. J.J. Watt broke him. He went to surgery. He had flesh-eating disease. He couldn't walk. He didn't play. The guy didn't play. He should be retired. He had the Joe Theismann. What the hell? He came back and he's starting for them. Is a guy who, like, if you want to feel good, and I tweeted it, I put it on our Instagram stories. I didn't tweet it. I put it on Instagram stories earlier today or yesterday. If there is anything positive you want to cheer for in the NFL right now, it's the story of Alex Smith. And there's an excellent feature on E60 where they show the injury and what happened and all of the work he had to do to rehab. He went to, like, a military hospital because his injury was closer in gravity to a war wound than it was to like a sports injury. It was insane. Like, I mean, if you understand what happened,
I didn't know he got fleshy.
Alex Smith dropped back. JJ Watt was coming. He tried to turn to scramble. And when J.J. Watt grabbed him, he pulled him down. Like, nothing against J.J. Watt's play here. It's a defensive play. But he ended up torquing Alex Smith. Not twerking, torquing. And his shin broke in half, basically. It was like, twist the bone, and that's how it snapped. Think of opening, like, Pillsbury crescent rolls. You twist and pop. That's what happened. And he rolled over, and his ankle, like, just kind of flopped on the field. And they took him to the hospital, and they went into surgery immediately. There was a bit of an open wound. He got his whole bunch. I think they had a whole bunch of plates and needles in his, pins and plates in his leg. They had an air cast on it. He had a little bit of a fever, and like 6 days in, his fever like spiked, and they didn't know what was going on, and they unwrapped it, and there was large swaths of flesh-eating disease from 4 bacterial infections in his leg, and he almost died. And I'm not saying this like trying to be flippant or anything. This is what the story tells you. He almost died. He was medically put under, and they had to take off large sections of his leg muscle and skin. Sorry if this is graphic. I'll put a notice at the front of the podcast so you don't get this far. They took off huge sections of muscle and skin that were infected with flesh-eating disease.
I so did this not guy that's crazy.
Basically had no leg. And I don't mean that like he had some leg. He had like no muscle. And his bones still hadn't healed properly. And he had to, you know, go through all this. So he finally started working out slowly to get back to being able to walk and hang out with his kids, and then eventually managed to resume football activities sometime last January. And last week, this motherfucker beat the undefeated Steelers. The guy who almost died, the guy who had a Joe Theismann, almost died and came back and beat the Steelers in 2020, because that is the feel-good story of the year. Give the man comeback player of the year.
Sure.
I don't care. I don't care. Just give it to him.
Okay. So
don't even have awards ceremony.
Let's unpack some of that really quickly here. First and foremost, like, you can make the Joe Theismann thing whatever. If Joe Theismann had flesh eating disease in the 80s, he would. I don't think flesh eating disease was a thing in the 80s. He would have probably died. Yes. So the fact that if like the broken legs and all that stuff, those things can be overcome. It's horrific and it's awful. But coming back from the flesh eating disease is a whole other thing in playing professional football. The fact that, like, but here's the thing about Alex Smith is Alex Smith was always just a good enough quarterback. I never wanted to call him a great quarterback, but he was always good enough. Like, Alex Smith, like, if Alex Smith was a starting quarterback of your football team, your team was probably going to be pretty good. You're probably going to win it all, but you were always going to be in contention. Like, he's always been just.
He won 50 games of the Chiefs in 5 years.
Yeah, he won 50 games of the Chiefs. He was good in San Francisco. Like, if I had to give Alex Smith a rating out of 10, he was like a 7.8. Like, he was good. He was really good. He wasn't exceptional. He wasn't as good as the guy that got drafted the same year as him, like in Aaron Rodgers. Like, he was never an exceptional quarterback, but he was always right. He just never had the long ball, right? He could never throw the ball long distances. But Alex Smith never killed his team. Alex Smith was always competitive, and all of his teams were very good. He kept losing his job to, like, younger, fancier, big-armed players, i.e. the Mahomes and the Kaepernicks previously. But, like, because people love big arms, but Alex Smith has never killed any team he's been on. So kudos to him for turning that god-awful shit show of a football team in Washington. And he's got them playing well. Like, he's their best quarterback. Like, it's not just that he's a comeback player. And I understand he's only getting this opportunity because other guys got hurt. But I guarantee you he'll start next year. He's that good. Like, he'll be back, and he'll be the starter next year. And they can move on from, like, Kyle Allen, who's a bum who couldn't carry Alex Smith's job out of the best day. And whoever they spent that guy's going to be out of the league. He'll be in the Rocks XFL before we all know it. So shout outs to him. We'll see him in the XFL soon.
The way they beat the Steelers was impressive as well. Because this wasn't now, like
handicap on the Steelers. They only played on like 4 days rest or something like that too.
Yes. Yeah.
After a tough game with the Ravens, where they also look like shit. Let's go on.
Well, I was just about to say the Steelers haven't really looked great in a lot of their wins, like at all. The Redacteds are one of those teams that they hung around. Defensively, they were there. They were keeping it close. But this was a comeback win. This wasn't like they were down 14-0. Washington was going into the in the second quarter. They were down 14-0. They kicked a field goal before half, and then they scored a touchdown after half when they got the ball back, gave up a field goal, and then scored a touchdown. So we're in the like fourth quarter with 3:14 left, and it's 17-7. And they make a crazy stand and get the ball turned over on downs to go up. And then there's a Roethlisberger pick and a field goal for good measure. And that's it. That's the game. they came back to win the game. So there is no one I'm a bigger fan of right now. He was never my favorite player. He probably won't ever be, but huge shout out to Alex Smith for doing what he's doing. Not just playing, but playing at a level that's actually making a football team with no name reasonable. To the point where they're a shitty Steelers team.
I mean, here's how I feel about it. If the Redacteds come back and take the division from the Giants, I won't be nearly as upset about ruining my prophecy, just because I think it's super cool what's happening. But
I still think the Giants win the division. But
they're 2-0 against the Redacteds, so everything is breaking in that favor. But
yeah,
I mean, neither of those teams were supposed to win this week. We expected them both to lose this week, and they both won. So God knows how this is going to play out now.
There was a point where the Eagles and Cowboys looked like the sure thing in the NFC East. The Eagles have lost 4 in a row. The Cowboys have lost 2 in a row. Who'd they beat barely? 3 games ago. Anyway.
Yeah.
New York has won 4 in a row. The football Giants are, they were 1-7.
They were 0-6 at one point. Now they're 5-7. Like, put some respect on their name. Like, they're playing good football. Like, just like you guys were. Like, you know, you guys were left for dead, and now they're back. But I mean, seeing the Patriots rise from the embers is not really a shocking thing for people. Seeing the Giants do this is great. Like, I honestly believe the Giants could possibly end up 9-7. Like, I believe, I don't think they will, but I believe they could. They're playing that well. Like, we can keep laughing at them and everything else because of how their record is bad and they started the season so badly. But they played good football for a long – they almost stole one from the Bucs, and that was where the season turned around. Like, they beat the Redacteds, they beat the Eagles, they beat the Bengals, they beat the Seahawks. They got the Cardinals, like, on Sunday, who are so Jekyll and Hyde, I don't even know where to begin. Then they got the Browns. Like, okay, so maybe the Giants got Cardinals, Browns, Ravens, Cowboys. So, like, realistically speaking, the Giants could win 3 of their next – yeah, so, yeah, there you go. They're not going to beat the Browns. So they're probably going to end up 8-8, which is a far cry from the 0-6 start, and they should be handed, like, a big salute. Being 500 winning division is not as out of practice as what we've seen, what we expected this division to do. So shout-outs to the Redacteds. Shout-outs to the Giants. Way to, like, turn the narrative on its head and make this division actually respectable. You both had awful starts. We'll forgive that. But the last few weeks, these two teams – have played some of the best football we've seen. Now, I know, like, oh, how did the Seahawks lose to Colt McCoy and the Giants, and how could the Steelers lose to Alex Smith and the Redacteds? They did. Any given Sunday could happen, and these teams have been winning and playing close competitive games for a while now, so they deserve some credit. They're no longer the NFC least. The record may indicate that, but they're not the worst division of football right now because those two teams are playing at a very high level. The NFC North is a much worse division right now.
I was about to ask you. I was going to say, can we make a commitment here to remove the NFC least title, because I actually think that the NFC North is worse outside of Green Bay and Dalvin Cook. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying the Vikings. I'm saying Dalvin Cook, because Dup Bears and the Lions are far worse football teams than the Redacted and Giants. And
also if the Cowboys and the Eagles weren't decimated by injuries, those two teams would be better too.
Absolutely, they would be. They absolutely would be.
And imagine the Giants still have Barkley right now, I think we buried the NFC East for too long, and I'm guilty of it just as you are. So it's time to put some shine on NFC East fans. If you're a Giants fan, you have the right to be proud. If you're a Redacted fan, I probably don't know you exist, but if you are, be proud of what's going on right now against Dan Snyder's best intentions. You guys are actually a decent football team, because I know he never wants that team to be. At least I have to assume he doesn't.
Two questions to get us out on here. One, is the NFC East the most interesting division in the NFC to watch right now? And two, who is the best division in the NFC right now? Who has the best division?
I think both of those things fall into the NFC West. I mean, the Cardinals have been Jekyll and Hyde, but the Rams and the Seahawks are still very good football teams. The NFC South is clearing away the Saints division now. The Bucs are, you know, a wild card team.
Yeah.
I mean, in the NFC, I'd say it's the NFC West, because the Cardinals are still there, as though they've fallen apart. They're still very much there.
Even the Niners are still there.
Yeah, the Niners who've lost 64,000 people to injury. Like the Niners, like, oh my god, the Niners are like the opening scene of Saving Private Ryan this year. That they just all just dropped in unison, but yeah, they're still hanging around and they're playing decent football considering, and the fact that they lost their home stadium this season.
Yeah.
So yeah, the NFC West is the best division in the NFC, and I would say it's a tie in the AFC between the South and the North.
Yeah, that's fair. Next week, we're going to dig deep into our AFC friends, because hopefully we'll have some good news about your Indianapolis Colts, and we'll see what kind of shit show my Patriots decide to
put on. I just need us to win out so we don't play the Chiefs. Although the Colts' record against the Chiefs in the playoffs is... Well, no, I think Mahomes beat us, didn't he? In his first season, I think he beat us.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, they beat the brakes off us. Never mind. We had a history of, like, ridiculous wins against the Chiefs in two games in my lifetime. One was Peyton Manning versus Trent Green back when Priest Holmes and Dante Hall were in Kansas City, where there was an entire football game between the Chiefs and the Colts where no one punted. It was a playoff game. There was not a single punt in the game.
Amazing.
And then there was the one about 7-8 years ago where we came back in the second biggest comeback in playoff history against them in the second half.
Yes.
With Alex Smith versus Andrew. I think that was second season Andrew Luck. I think that was the second year.
Yeah, so I think so.
Those are two very memorable Chiefs-Colts moments for me. I don't expect to have any of that like jolliness with a crippled Philip Rivers who has turf toe, apparently. Honestly, I'd be there to see Jacoby Brissett suit back up. I wish Philip Rivers would sit, actually. Whatever. That's here nor there. Tune in next week to hear my thoughts on this.
If the people want to tell you that they are a fan of the Redacteds, where can they find you on the socials?
I'm back to being at SteveSteele23 at Instagram and SteveSteele23 on Twitter. As I say every week, I don't use Facebook enough for you to add me to it, so don't. Thanks.
The real ones know at SteveSteele23 is the OG. You can find me at ArmchairCommentary, at ArmchairCommentary. Check us out on the socials. Let us know what you think. Is the NFC East finally rid of this rancid title of NFC Least? Thanks for listening.
And that does it for this week's episode of the Armchair Commentary. If you haven't already, please make sure to subscribe to the podcast. And again, you can follow us on socials at SteveSteele23, at ArmchairCommentary. If you're looking to support us through merchandise, you can check out our merch at tpublic.com. And if you are looking to support us monetarily, you can head over to patreon.com/armchaircommentary. We appreciate anyone able to support us, even by listening or sharing. If you're looking for another podcast to listen to over the holiday season, you can check out my friends. I've got many podcasts to list here, so I'm going to link them in the bio. I want to give a shout out to Recruiting Hell. I want to give a shout out to The Offbeat Worm, to A Small Foreign Fact Check, to I Know You, to Drive With Us, to Murders, Mysteries, and Meows, to Grading the Nerd, to Vintage Video Podcast, to The Sportsocracy, who you've had heard Jeremy Green on this show before, to Secondary Lead, and many, many others, to Down the Pub, of course, our longest and oldest podcast friends. If you're looking for a podcast, make sure to check out their shows. I will link as many of as I can in the post on Instagram. Podcasters go through a lot to put these episodes out. It takes a lot of guts, a lot of chutzpah. We record, we put these out into the world, and a lot of the time we get flack or we don't hear anything about it. So we appreciate every single person that does listen to our episodes. On a final note, I want to dedicate this episode to my dog Brady, who sadly passed away very suddenly yesterday. If you have pets, make sure to give them an extra scruff on the ears or a rub on the chin. It is particularly sad and devastating, and I miss him already. It has been a wacky week in the world of sports. Can't wait to do it again next week. Thanks for listening.